Country music singers have always been a real close family.
Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Wednesday. Fanfare, of course, in America's Music City. Got to have some Hank. Let's say hello to John McClain down in Houston. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Mini camp in full swing here in Nashville. But I'm going to start with your team down there in Houston because I've seen comments from Stefon Diggs that he was, quote, happy when the Bills traded him to the Texans. It seems like he's liking his new home to this point.
He talked to the media for the first time yesterday after the first day of mini camp, which ends today. And he said he knew something was up in Buffalo. He figured he was going to get traded. He never asked for a trade. And he's happy to be here working with this team. He praised the heck out of Josh Allen and the Bills. I'm writing a column for HoustonTexans.com about Diggs and the way he handled that news conference. I thought he said everything exactly the way he should have, as opposed to C.J. Stroud, who did a podcast I've never heard of and stirred the hornet's nest. Two Colts, one beating Zaire Franklin and taking a couple of shots at Stroud. You know how guys hear things and they hear what they want to hear, and he thought Stroud was insulting the Colts. So he fired off a couple. That was good because it makes the first game at Indianapolis more interesting. But then I don't understand where this came from. He took shots at Aaron Rodgers saying, well, if Matthew Stafford had been in Green Bay and had that talent, he might have won 3 or 4 Super Bowls. And Aaron Rodgers is the kind of guy, for whatever reason, who looks for extra incentive, extra motivation. Don't understand why he's 3-time MVP, Super Bowl champion. That's just the way he is. So I'm sure by the time they play them, it'll be brought up by the New York media when they're preparing for the game. So it's the first time we've had anything like this in quite a while.
Yeah, for sure. And then here with the Titans yesterday, Brian Callahan was asked about Treylon Burks, as he's going to be quite a bit, and basically said he's going to play special teams and be a gunner on special teams. And so here we are talking about a former first round pick receiver in a crowded receiver room, but what I think could be a good receiver room, potentially playing special teams. What are your thoughts on that?
First of all, Burks needs to work his tail off, because if this is an audition for his next team, they're going to want to know how he handles the situation. Now, what are the odds that all three of their top receivers are going to stay healthy for the entire season? He's going to get some opportunities. And I used a couple of weeks ago with you guys, Nico Collins. Nico Collins didn't do much his first 2 years because he was nicked up, nagging injuries. And when he did get a chance to play, he flashed and showed people what he was capable of doing. Well, last year he played 15 games and was C.J. Stroud his quarterback. And his career took off, and last week he signed a contract to make $24 million a year. So I would never give up on a player unless he'd been in an organization for 3 years and showed over 3 years he just didn't get it. Anytime you have a new regime, a new GM, and a new coach, you got to prove yourself all over. And you got to do it multiple times. So he's on an audition for Brian Callahan and for possibly his next employer, and they will be watching him closely. So will his teammates, and so will his coaches.
We're talking to the great John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe Show today. John, your thoughts on Justin Jefferson, the deal he got. I mean, it's now a arms race for wide receivers in the National Football League. It's going to keep going and going, isn't it?
It is, and agents will try to do it. We knew Justin Jefferson was going to get the biggest contract. He had made no bones about it. His agent had made no bones about it, and he did. And one of the reasons they did that is he's going to be with J.J. McCarthy on a rookie contract for an offensive-oriented head coach. And so it's a good time to pay a wide receiver that kind of astronomical money. Now, the problem is Dallas sees that. C.J. Lamb. Lamb will want to top Jefferson, and he's been more just as or more productive because he's consistently played with a better quarterback in regular season, Dak Prescott. So, problem for the Cowboys, they're already going to have to put Dak can make them pay whatever, or he can be gone after next season, and they'll want to sign Micah Parsons as well. So they got three stars that have to be paid, and they do not have a quarterback on a rookie contract. So it's going to be difficult for the Cowboys, but I'm sure Jefferson's going to be great like he's been since he came into the NFL. It is amazing when you think about that 2019 LSU team that went unbeaten with Joe Burrow, and you had Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase of the Bengals as your two starting receivers. That may be the best pair of starting receivers in college football history.
Oh, there will be no argument from Chase and I about that because we completely agree with that. Let me ask you this, John. The far-reaching effects of a Jefferson. I've talked to a few high school coaches here in Middle Tennessee. They've got more kids coming out to be receiver than they do linemen. I mean, you look at what's happening now. I mean, the effect of the deals of wide receivers is hitting the high school level. They all want to be wide receivers now. And so you see how football's kind of evolving a little bit, at least in my eyes up here, where more of these kids want that glory of the receiver. Being a lineman is no fun for them.
Well, of course not. The problem is some of them are too big to play wide receiver. First of all, you should want to play quarterback.
Yep.
You know, if you're playing quarterback, that's the best spot. Used to be people wanted to play running back, and they didn't want to be receivers. They wanted the ball. They wanted to be able to run and score 20 or 30 touchdowns. The problem with high schools now is parents want them to be wide receivers too. And when they're in high school, they're influenced by their parents. And so, you know, who wouldn't want your kid at this point? Problem is, if you may not be able to play in NFL, but today, if you play in college and you get NIL money and you handle it correctly, you can be taken care of for have a career just with that.
Yep.
We're talking to John McClain down in Houston, HoustonTexans.com. So just kind of continuing on that for a second, the running back position, you know, specifically, we're seeing for the first time that I can remember the Titans – change their identity, at least on paper. It hadn't happened yet, but they've gone from, you know, Eddie George and then, you know, some other guys in between, and then Chris Johnson, and then of course Derrick Henry, to, you know, to now it's they're going to be throwing the ball more and not be such a run first offense. That's changing around the league. What is that going to do for the running back position in the future?
I think one thing, Jeff Fisher was the coach, and Mike Vrabel was the coach. When you had coaches who were defensive coordinators, as to compared to like a Ken Wisenhunt, Mike Mularkey, who were offensive coaches, they're going to believe heavily in a running game. And Mike Vrabel was blessed to have Derrick Henry, and Henry was blessed to have him as well. But the NFL today is a passing league, but you still have to be able to run it when you need to run it. And I think, I know the Texans were so happy because Derrick Henry was gone and they didn't have to face him anymore. Now they got to play the Ravens. So Derrick Henry's coming back here where he's had some of his greatest games, but you still have to be able to run the ball. I don't know if the day of the 1,500-yard rusher, we'll see it again, because Henry is playing with Lamar Jackson, Justice Hill. John Harbaugh believes in distributing the wealth. So I do not see, as some projections say, Derrick Henry is going to rush for 1,500 yards. They don't want him for just one season. Now, if Lamar Jackson gets hurt, they maybe But if that's the case, you know, it's going to be like it was in Nashville. Teams are going to, he'll say a lot of eight-man fronts. But I'm fired up to see what he's going to do there, fired up to see how the Titans handle it with all the offensive weapons that Rankin has brought in.
Yeah, for sure. We'll have more with John McClain from Houston coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
And nobody wants to get drunk and get loud. And all my rowdy friends have settled down.
Chasing Big Joe from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Continuing our conversation with John McClain from Houston.
Yeah, it's a Hank Jr. Day. He lives out in Paris, Tennessee, and I know he listens every day. So good morning, Hank. All right.
Hi, Hank.
All right, John, for you. The question is now, we had a discussion about quarterbacks waiting. We talked about, Chase talked about Floyd making Steve McNair wait a couple of years. That's gone, right? There's no more waiting on quarterbacks because of the pressure now. Like, Caleb Williams is not going to sit for a year or two. Drake May's probably not going to sit for a year or two. Is that all gone now? Quarterbacks need to come in immediately and contribute?
I don't know immediately. I don't expect Drake May to start right away with Jacoby Brissett. You don't know if it's going to be five games. It'll be when they think he's ready. I don't think Bob Kraft's going to be putting pressure on him. Some owners would do that. I don't think there's going to be pressure on J.J. McCarthy to start. Caleb Williams will, because he's the number one pick and because they think he's going to be really good. And they've got talent around him, and everybody thinks he's the one who is the most ready to win. Now, Jake Daniels, you know, this time last year, nobody was talking about him. Maybe they were talking about him in the SEC, certainly not nationally, certainly not as a contender for the Heisman and being a high number one pick. That kind of performance makes me curious which quarterbacks this year we're not talking about could be like Daniels. I think Daniels will be the second quarterback to start, and maybe Bo Nix will start from day one. My God, he had 61 starts at Auburn and Oregon, and you would think that he would be ready to go. And so I believe Daniels and Nix and Williams will start right away. But I don't think waiting 3 years like Aaron Rodgers did. But remember, if there's a team picking low, only Big Ben, when he was picked in 04, Steelers had touchdown Tommy Maddox as the starter and Ben sat till he got hurt. If he hadn't been hurt, Roethlisberger might not have gone unbeaten as a rookie. So sometimes it depends on the situation, and it never hurts to play a rookie from a one-loss standpoint, because nobody expects you to win. So therefore, if you lose, you get a higher pick the next year.
Oh, exactly with that. John, the other night I had the wonderful opportunity to host an event with Terry Bradshaw, and I got to tell you, you've probably met Terry many times. I've never seen a guy, John, command a room in front of 2,000 people like Terry Bradshaw did. The problem I had, John, was when you talk to somebody like that, where do you start? I mean, you're a seasoned award-winning journalist. Where do you start with somebody? Because there's so much to talk about. We ended up talking about, first question, the immaculate reception, but one of those things where these guys just, these old NFL players, John, they just captivate rooms. I've never seen anything like that in my life.
Well, I'll give you an example. Every year in the summer in Houston, there's a Texas high school coaching convention that rotates between San Antonio, Dallas, and Houston. This year it is in San Antonio, and I've been invited as a gridiron legend of Texas at the event in front of, like, I don't know, 1,000 high school coaches to interview Mean Joe Green, Kenny Houston, the greatest defensive tackle and strong safety in history, and a couple others like that. And it's easier in a group. But then on July 24th, I'm going to the Texas Sports Hall of Fame in Waco, and for an hour, I'm interviewing Mean Joe Green. Oof. And Joe is not chatty. Joe's not like Terry takes over a room. And I know Joe, and I've never heard him elaborate on anything. So I will go in well prepared. I'm going to interview people, friends of mine, about stories But where I'm going to start with Joe Green is how he got his nickname, Mean Joe Green. And when I ask him, I'm going to get up and walk away in case he wants to hit me. And it's much easier in San Antonio with a group than it will be with one. But I like, if it was Terry, I would pick out something about Terry that has to do with behind the scenes at Fox, his terrible acting career, and being best friends with Burt Reynolds, or just go what most people want to hear about winning 4 Super Bowls in 6 years and playing on a team that I still consider the Steel Curtain to be the greatest dynasty in the NFL, because they got so many players in the Hall of Fame, probably have a couple more that deserve to be, more than the Patriots. And Bradshaw was no Brady, but Terry was a character back at the time in the 70s and early 80s when football welcomed characters, and he was right. As Mom Phillips said about Earl Campbell, I'll borrow about Terry Bradshaw. If Terry wasn't the biggest character in his class, it sure didn't take long to call roll.
We're talking to John McClain from Houston, HoustonTexans.com, where you can find his work. And, you know, John, you being in Texas, obviously the news of Larry Allen passing away, Cowboys legend, Hall of Famer, just very unexpectedly, has shocked the, you know, not only the Cowboys fans and former players and teammates, everything, but the football world. I mean, he was, even though he was, a bigger guy, like the athleticism, the strength that he had, he was such a key part of those dynasty teams.
He was a team that won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. He's the greatest guard in history. I've watched several times him bench press 700 pounds, and then I've watched him bench press 225 like they do at the combine, I think 55 or 60 times till he got bored. And there's a great highlight in which he chases down, I can't remember if it's a running back or wide receiver, running down the left sideline. Extraordinary athlete. I feel so bad. Died of a heart attack on vacation with his family. And he was as good as any offensive lineman in history. When you talk about guards, talk about Larry Allen. Talk about tackles, still Anthony Munoz is the left tackle that everybody – models themselves after, but boy, Allen could have played any position and gone to the Hall of Fame.
Is he one of those guys, when you think about those Cowboys teams of the 90s, obviously, you know, the triplets come to mind, and you get Deion later on and all of that, but shouldn't Larry be up there as the key pillars of those teams?
Well, absolutely should, and he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, in the Texas Sports Hall of Fame. But he was a gentle giant, a quiet guy. You know, Nate Newton was the one that always spoke to the linemen, got busted for having like 65 pounds of pot in his trunk. Today it wouldn't be any big deal, I guess. And he was always the one that spoke for the team. But boy, and Larry Allen, I remember when he got in the Hall of Fame, he thanked his presenters. And a lot of times they don't do that. And everybody had the utmost respect for him because he came out of nowhere. Jimmy Johnson had a great scouting staff. Jimmy had final say on everything, but his people told him where to go to get some great players, and they went places you don't ordinarily go.
Well, John, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking us down memory lane there, and we will do it again next week.
I look forward to it, guys. Thank you.
Absolutely. John McClain joins us every Wednesday at 9:30. And, of course, HoustonTexans.com is where you can find all of his work.